Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, the government tightens the purse strings on helping with rising costs, but could it do more? Professor Stephen Kinsella takes us through the numbers. Russian President Vladimir Putin makes his State of the Nation address while his US counterpart Joe Biden visits Poland. E-scooters are said to be regulated, but will the rules turn people off a handy and eco-friendly way to travel? Dietitian Louise Reynolds has been taking a closer look at protein bars and just how healthy they really are. And we find out why some people just can't help picking up the accents they hear all around them. Text us this morning on 51551. The email address is todaycb@rte.ie. And on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. The government is expected to sign off on that 1.25 billion cost of living package today. Senior ministers gathered yesterday evening to finalise the details before formal sign-off by Cabinet this morning. And it comes before several one-off measures introduced alongside Budget 2023 are due to expire at the end of the month. In a moment, we'll hear from Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary, and Rose McGowan, who is St Vincent de Paul National President. But first, with all of the details, I'm joined by Daniel McConnell, political editor with the Irish Examiner, to take us through it. Good morning, Daniel. Good morning, Daniel. Can you hear me? Daniel, can you hear me? We seem to have lost Daniel there. Well, perhaps we'll go to Richard Boyd Barrett, who is on the line along with Rose McGowan from the St Vincent de Paul. So we know the package is valued at 1.25 billion, Richard. There are some supports there for people who are on social welfare, people who are on the working family payment. Does the package cut it in your view?
No, it absolutely doesn't. The once-off piecemeal measures that the government have pursued really since the outset of this crisis are a tiny drop in the ocean compared to the really shocking rises in the cost of living that people are having to endure. Most obviously with energy costs, which have more than doubled for most people. And we have a steady stream of people coming into my clinic and contacting our clinic who are just cannot believe the bills that they are receiving for gas in particular. And then we have food prices going through the roof. And overall, on average, we're talking about probably a 3,000 to 4,000 euro loss in real income, in the purchasing power that ordinary families have as a result of the cost of living crisis. So these are tiny drops in the ocean, and they will not stop the shocking numbers that are now relying on food banks, who can't afford to pay their rent, who have been driven into poverty by this cost of living crisis.
Okay, and we'll hear more from Rose McGowan about that in a moment. But Daniel McConnell is with us now, and I just want to get an overview, Daniel, of what is included in this package. So we know there's going to be this 200 euro lump sum that will be paid to certain groups. Take us through who's going to get that.
Yeah, so this is a kind of a payment, a once-off payment to pensioners, carers, people with disabilities and lone parents. Basically, anyone who's in receipt of a welfare payment will qualify for that 200 euro lump sum. There's also set to be a 100 euro lump sum child benefit payment per child. So what they were looking at yesterday and over the weekend was two options. One was either a simple double payment of the child benefit, which would have been worth 140 euro per child, but they've decided to go for 100 euro to every child that qualifies for the child benefit. But there's also a 100 euro lump sum in terms of a back to school clothing and footwear allowance, which is on a once off basis, which is again significant because that follows what went on and what was given out in October's budget. We also know that there was talk all the way through last week of an additional energy credit of €200. That's now not going to happen. And it's likely that'll be penciled in for either September or October. Mm-hmm. And there's certainly an intention to look at those payments again as part of a much bigger cost of living package in the budget in later in the year.
Now, there is one coming in March, isn't there? That's already been decided, agreed, and it's been factored in. So the next one, if it were to happen, was going to be coming in May. That's not going to happen, despite what Richard Boyd Barrett was saying and what everybody has experienced when it comes to those rising bills.
Yeah, the calculation there is that, I suppose, when you're getting into May and June, you're at a time of year when people really aren't using their heating, and you're at the sort of the low end of the cycle, and the money could be much better spent, you know, from September onwards, when I suppose the days start getting colder and shorter. So I think there was a kind of a pragmatic calculation taken there by government, notwithstanding Richard Boyd Barrett's position. I just think they simply said it'd be better spent in heading into the winter later in this year. There had obviously also been a lot of talk about excise duty on petrol and diesel, and you know, had they not kind of moved to extend this, you know, there would have been a 23-cent increase on a litre of petrol and a 15-17% cent increase on a litre of diesel. So what they've decided to do is sort of stagger those increases over several months. So in terms of petrol, we'll see a 6-cent per litre increase on the 1st of June, a 7-cent increase on the 1st of September, and an 8-cent increase on the 31st of October, which is an overall increase of 21 cents. And diesel will go up by a similar rata basis on those dates as well. So you're seeing that staggered approach. The difficulty is for the government is anything delayed like this is simply kind of storing up potential trouble, because we know that the opposition are likely to hone in not only on these dates in terms of hammering the cost of living narrative, but we also don't forget have, you know, carbon tax increases kicking in the 1st of May, and that became a huge source of contention from the opposition last year in the midst of this cost of living crisis. So you're likely to see further kind of attacks on the government there. So there is a concern that they could come in. They're only storing up difficulties for themselves on that front.
And another front that they could be attacked on is this decision to retain the 9% VAT rate for the hospitality sector, because if you're looking at the resources that you have available to you, we know that that measure costs in a full year, Daniel, €400 million, and the government has made a decision now to extend that until September at least, isn't it?
It is, and it's a very interesting decision, because as of late yesterday afternoon, there are briefings coming from government sources to say that it was, you know, that they wanted it gone, that they didn't support it, that, you know, and particularly coming from the finance side and the public expenditure side, they're not really that keen on this. However, I think at political level, clearly the lobbying of the industry has won out here, and ultimately they've won a reprieve until the end of August. And we know the likes of Catherine Martin, the Deputy Green Party leader and Arts Minister, had sought this extension, and other ministers that we understand that Michael McGrath certainly, you know, decided to back it. But you certainly, you know, at a time of limited resources, there are legitimate question marks over the appropriateness of this measure, given, I suppose, there are charges being made against the hotel sector in particular of price exploitation.
Because the Tánaiste on the way into Cabinet said that the package today would be particularly targeted at families in respect of social protection and education. What is the business case for spending? I see now this will be €280 million additionally spent on keeping that 9% VAT rate there for the hospitality sector. Like, what is the logic?
The logic, I suppose we had calls from the hotel and the hospitality industries and the restaurants association that if they didn't extend this, that you would have seen many closures in the coming months, given that they're facing costs all over the place. I think there was maybe perhaps a legitimate case for restaurants and maybe smaller pubs and independent, you know, eateries for that extension. But I think there was an examination of how would you separate, if it was possible, hotels out from that, and ultimately it was deemed it wasn't possible to separate them out, so they've had to extend it all for the entire sector. But it will not sit easy. I mean, we already see people like Socialist TD Mick Barry's been out saying it's essentially a €230 million gift to the hospitality industry when you're cutting back on cost of living supports to individual families. So they are open to that particular charge, so that is likely to, I'd say, feature at leaders' questions later on today.
Richard Boyd Barrett, what do you say to that decision to keep the VAT rate for hospitality at 9%?
Yeah, I think given the huge numbers of people that are now suffering real poverty, I mean, Social Justice Ireland estimate that we're talking, when you take into account housing costs, that there are nearly 1 million people in this country living below the poverty line. So the idea that there's a special dispensation for the hospitality sector just really is pretty shocking. why they would be singled out for this gift from the government when we are talking about people absolutely crippled with unaffordable rents, where they're having to rely on food banks, and where people are literally being driven into poverty, tens of thousands of people being driven into poverty by the cost of living crisis. It's absolutely shocking. And the other point I think is important to stress, Claire, is that the cost of living crisis really is a case of two Irelands, a tale of two Irelands, because while huge numbers of people are being crucified, ordinary workers, students, pensioners, people with disabilities, we have seen an astronomical rise in the wealth and profits of those at the top of Irish society. And there's nothing the government seem to be doing or even interested in doing in terms of dealing with the profiteering we're seeing by corporate landlords, by energy companies, by the big supermarket retailers and so on, who have seen a huge increase in profits while ordinary people are being crucified with the cost of living.
So what would you have wanted to have seen there, an increase in corporate taxation?
Well, I mean, recently Oxfam produced a report detailing the shocking sort of concentration of wealth that has been accumulated at the top of our society, and argued that if we had a very modest wealth tax introduced, it could generate up to 8 billion euro a year in additional revenue. Imagine what that would do to help us resolve the housing crisis, to protect people against the cost of living crisis. Very literally, what's happening is the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And there seems to be no effort by the government to address that fact.
Okay, Rose McGowan, you've been listening to all of this. Now, some of the measures that are going to be announced are across the board, like the 100 euro extra on child benefit. But there are others this time that are more targeted. Do you see the 200 euro bonus for pensioners, carers, lone parents, people with disabilities as effective measures and better than the package that was announced back in September?
Morning, Claire. I suppose for us, we would always be grateful and thankful that there are some measures being offered to the people we visit. However, it's not, these measures are not what we would want. We want them targeted much better. Like, if you look at who's getting the 200 euro, they definitely need it. However, it's a once-off payment. Like, life doesn't operate like that. So when that 200 euro comes, a bit like the energy 200, sure, people are in arrears anyhow. They owe rent, they owe Electric Ireland, gas bills, whatever. So that is gone immediately because they will pay it off that. So in fact, if you even, that's gone in a week or at least 2 weeks. So those measures don't work for the people we're visiting. They need a standard of living every week that they can budget. I mean, if you take that last year, we had 230,000 calls for help to the society. Now, people don't phone the Vincent de Paul unless they're really in need. And I listened there, and our food banks, like, we have a number of food banks throughout the country. Like, in an Ireland, in a wealthy country, that, people have to queue for food. I mean, we would find that shocking that people can't afford food. That families, and in particular parents, are going short of food in order to feed their children. Now, on the other hand, we welcome the 100 euro payment for back to school. However, I did hear Daniel saying it was once off, because obviously we don't know exactly what's going to be said, agreed today. We would hope that that is not a once off, that it is added to last year's budget.
Yeah, that it becomes an annual payment for eligible people.
Absolutely, it needs to be annual. If you take, we did a survey this year with a number of families, children going into secondary school. It was over €1,000 to get your child into secondary school, from uniforms and books and shoes and bags.
Mm-hmm. And so, the rest, yeah.
Like a couple of hundred euro if you're on social welfare. Or in fact, it's not just about people on social welfare. I mean, we are dealing more and more with families who are working and are on low pay, who are working and paying astronomical rents, who maybe are lucky to be able to afford a mortgage. Mm-hmm. So it's not just social welfare recipients that are coming to us. Now, we certainly welcome the hot school meals, because at least children are getting some food in school, and it relieves the mum at home.
It's not everywhere, though.
Yeah, I spoke last week to two or three mothers who said, I wish there was no midterm break. They have children at home, they're in and out of the fridge. There isn't that there isn't money on a normal week, but suddenly you have your children at home where they're not getting, maybe going to the breakfast club in the school, and now, you know, maybe not getting lunch. So those meals are extra. And while those of us who can afford it might think, oh God, breakfast doesn't cost a lot, it does in a household that is really, you know, struggling
yes,
on the budget.
Yes, where every penny counts. I just want to ask you about the decision on the energy rebate. As we said to Daniel, we're discussing with Daniel there, there will be another one coming in March, but then a decision has been taken that because the temperatures will be warming up, they're not going to give people another one in May. But as you said there earlier, Rose, people are, in some cases, in many cases, in debt now because of the high bills that they've been having since October, November and right through the winter. Do you think that that rebate should have been repeated in May?
Well, like I've said earlier, I think every help is more than welcome. But the families I'm visiting, they're in arrears before even the first one came. So they're using that to pay off the arrears. It's a real case of this week I'll pay a bit off the rent, next week I'll pay off the energy bill, next week, you know, I'll pay off something else. So, you know, while we might say, you know, the weather isn't as cold, at the same time, they're still in arrears. Like, those €200 did not clear bills. That actually came where, in particular, where people had been working on a low pay during COVID would have built up arrears. They weren't able to clear those bills with the COVID payment. Mm-hmm. So we have hundreds and hundreds of families that are in arrears before any of those payments come. So
okay,
we would be, it's not about the weather. It's
right,
about, you know, what they actually owe.
Rose, thank you very much for joining us today. Rose McGowan there, St Vincent de Paul National President, Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD, and Daniel McConnell from the Irish Examiner. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We've already been talking about this morning, that government is expected to sign off on that $1.25 billion cost of living package today. Professor Stephen Kinsler is the head of the Department of Economics at the University of Limerick and chief economics writer for The Currency. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
We just wanted to get a sense of where the government finances are at now with this package set to be approved this morning. So a big point of discussion around this has been this sense of holding something back for when it's needed more in the autumn. Looking at the value of this and the state finances in general, what's your take on how much could we have held in reserve in a few months' time? How much will there be left?
Well, I think the first thing to talk about is just how much money the state has in terms of its budgetary surplus. So it recorded almost a €5 billion surplus last year, mostly because of corporation taxes. So the cash is definitely there to spend. There's a lot of unspent monies as well from previous COVID stimulus packages that simply haven't worked out. And in fact, on top of the $1.25 billion, there's another $650 million of previously announced money that just wasn't spent. So it's going to be, which is going to be reconditioned. So it's quite a lot of cash. The logic, however, Claire, of stimulating the economy now at a time when inflation is actually falling and unemployment is very low, it seems pretty weak. And so keeping money in further reserve for later on in the year, it mightn't actually be required, because lots of the issues that have bedeviled the government over the last year, like the rise in energy prices, are actually going away now.
So is it a good idea to keep this money in reserve, or should a bit more have been spent now when people are still struggling to pay those very high energy bills from the winter?
Well, I think the mix of targeted measures and universal measures is pretty good. I wouldn't think that spending more at this point would have made a lot of sense, to be perfectly honest, because you want to avoid actually adding to the inflation that is causing the problem. If everybody has too much cash, then you will, of course, end up with inflation. So it's the energy measures, I think, that are what or where most of the money should be spent.
Yeah, it's hard to hear that after speaking to Rose McGowan from the Vincent de Paul. 230,000 calls for help last year. Working families, both parents working, queuing up at food banks to put food on the table. People in debt because of their energy bills. Is there an argument that working families and people on social welfare, those on low incomes, could have done with more help now?
My general test in all this, Claire, is if people like me are getting the cash from the government, it's poorly targeted. If you look at where the spending should go, it should be going particularly to lone parent families, to people with younger kids, to renters, and indeed the disabled and the elderly. These are the most vulnerable groups in our society, the ones where poverty is most likely to strike, and the ones where if you give them an extra 200 euros, they'll spend the extra 200 euros on that area. So I really I'm not a big fan of universal measures simply because it's not a good use of taxpayer funding.
And some people don't need it. Yeah.
So lots of people don't need it.
Now, there is a question mark over whether the hospitality industry needed the VAT rate to be kept at 9% for another number of months due to be looked at again in September, or we're told come to an end in September. But we were told that before. I was looking back at Department of Finance statements, and there was a clear note at the end of a press release on the last extension saying it will not go beyond March of 2023. And now it's being extended again. What's your take on that?
It's a waste of taxpayer money.
It's 280 million for the extension. And is there a business case there at all for it to be extended, or is it just the power of the lobby group?
It's a waste of money. The reality of the situation is the hospitality sector and the accommodation sector have been extremely well provisioned for by the state over more than a decade now. It's a very low productivity sector with that features low wages, high levels of employment, but fundamentally has been existing on very large subsidies, and now of course has subsidies coming from the spending on Ukraine, on Ukrainian refugees. So I think it's very unlikely that this represents good value for the taxpayers' money. It's 280 million quid. You can buy a lot of things with that, Claire. And it's directly going into one place. It's a victory for the lobbyists of one sector, of course, and they've been very successful in the past. But it's hard to see from just looking at it from the macroeconomic perspective whether that's a good idea or not.
Okay, well, the Hotels Federation has been on to us this morning saying that increasing the VAT rate would have meant Ireland has the third highest tourism VAT rate in Europe. They say it would have added 400 million euro onto the costs across the hospitality sector for things like coffees, meals out, hotel stays and weddings during a cost of living crisis.
If you have a VAT rate increase, that's the tax that accrues at the end of a consumption cycle. What the group is saying is, hand me 400 million or I will charge you 400 million. Mm-hmm. That's very unlikely to be the case for the very, very simple reason that these are different companies that compete on price as they should. And so you simply won't see that from one end to the other. I don't think that's a credible case.
Hotel room rates, I see, went up by 30% between 2019 and 2022 in this country. So that is way out of kilter with inflation, Stephen.
Indeed, we've also seen profits for hotel companies rising by about the same amount. Mm-hmm. So where these companies publicly traded or publicly available accounts, you see that their profit rates are quite high. In fact, so I think the economic case for subsidizing a whole sector. Is more than limited. I mean, a very good question to ask is, like, when does it end? Like, again, that's 280 million euros that the state could spend on lots of other things. For example, there are homeless refugees in this country, right? And you can spend the money on that. Like, why are we continually subsidizing? But it's an important sector, but It's just one sector.
It is, and we're often told that measures cannot be taken for individual sectors when we do speak to Pascal Donoghue previously, Michael McGrath now, but it seems like hospitality is the exception. Stephen, thank you very much for your time. Stephen Kinsler there, Professor Stephen Kinsler. Coming up next, we're going to find out why some people just can't help picking up the accents that they hear all around them. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.